And Robert Megna, Budget Director of New York State, you're here to fill us in on many of the details of the budget, and thanks for coming in to do this. I want to start with some of the big ticket items, the Sandy relief. There's billions of federal dollars to do everything, but from buy back houses to harden the subway system in case there's, you know, the potential of more floods. I guess the biggest question I have is there enough money to do this? Did the feds give the state enough money to carry out what's really a pretty ambitious plan?
Well, you know, the governor from the beginning has been pushing the feds and developing estimates on a very detailed basis about what the state would need. And we had a significant request from the federal government, which they, you know, Congress has acted, the Senate has passed a bill that would be about $60 billion, and the House has passed a very similar bill, about $60 billion. Now they have to get together and pass something jointly, which we hope they do soon. It's not everything we wanted, but we think it's a substantial amount, and we think it will address most of the problems we've had with Sandy.
Well, now, back on October 29th, I assume you were working on the budget. Would this have been a very different budget if the superstorm hadn't happened?
I think so. In some ways, it would be dramatically different because we wouldn't have, you know, we have $21 billion in federal appropriation authority within the budget in case this money comes through, when it comes through, that we could get it out, and significant spending to do the things you mentioned, repair housing, help small businesses, mitigate, which is something the governor's been talking about, making sure that our infrastructure is hardened so that if we have another storm, it gets fixed. And we also lost a little revenue, and the economy was a little disrupted temporarily by the storm. But when you look at just the state operations part of the budget, you know, we had a budget gap of about $1 billion, and it went up to about $1,352,000, which I think the governor referred to as rounding error. So in a way, we were able to manage through the Sandy process. I think the configuration of the budget is different because we have to get this federal money out, but you know, we've managed our own internal finances pretty well.
Yeah, and it's pretty much a flat budget, though you do have some education initiatives, all-day pre-kindergarten, extended learning, extend the school year, the school day, but those are limited. Some will be from grants. The all-day pre-K would be for the poorest school districts. Is that because there just isn't enough money to suddenly, you know, decree an expensive new program?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. I think one is we do have limited resources, so we have to be careful how we, you know, spend every dollar of our money. But I think the second is that we don't want to go into these programs just kind of in a willy-nilly fashion. You know, the governor is very much a person whose performance is very important, competence is very important. So we want to make sure that we're getting proposals where they're going to be successful, and then they'll become models for future investment in the same area. So also, I'd bring up that the Education Commission recommended about $75 million in spending for these programs, and that's what we put in the budget.
So he wants to make sure that they actually work before having the school districts undertake them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in the past, I think you'll find that we often embarked on programs without knowing if they were going to work or have them fully fleshed out. So we think this is a process that makes some sense.
Now, Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver said this week that New York City's being punished because they didn't agree on the teacher evaluations by the governor's January 17th deadline, and they're not going to get the 4% increase. Is that really going to happen? Are you guys really going to stick with this and cut all that money from them, or I should say not give them that money?
I think it's absolutely clear that they did not fulfill what the law required, and so they are going to lose that resource. 99% of the school districts around the state complied with the teacher evaluation program, put plans in place with the state education department. New York City had plenty of time to comply with that. Unfortunately, and we do think it's a terrible thing, unfortunately, they didn't. So I think the governor's been clear from the first day that school districts that did not meet the deadline would pay the penalty.
But aren't the school kids going to get hurt by this?
Well, again, we're not trying to hurt school kids. And the way we have developed the school aid formula this year, we will be putting an additional $890 million into school aid mm-hmm. statewide. Mm-hmm. That's 4.4% growth, which is more than last year. The governor specifically put in $203 million for a pension and fiscal stabilization fund because he thought 3% growth, which is what personal income would mm-hmm. have required, was not enough. Mm-hmm. So clearly we don't want to penalize school children, but I think it was very clear to the city that they had to comply with teacher evaluation, and they didn't, and so we will deduct a penalty.
You mentioned pensions a moment ago. Can you talk about this so-called pension smoother that's going to be an option for schools and local governments, a way to cope with the high pension costs? How does that work?
Well, I think it's only a possibility because of what we did last year. Last year we passed Tier 6,
mm-hmm. yeah, the new pension tier,
which is a new pension tier.
Lowered benefits.
But what it also does over time as the workforce turns over, it lowers what the employer contribution rate has to be. So over time, that employer contribution rate will go down from current rates that are above 20% to something around 5.5% to 6%. So what we wanted to do, but that's going to take a long time.
Yeah. The savings won't be realized for many years.
So what we wanted to do was push the savings up and smooth it out a little bit. So what we've said is let's develop actuarially sound, kind of stable rates where localities, municipalities would pay a little bit less now, but a little bit more as the Tier 6 benefit kind of phases mm-hmm. in. We've tried to do it in a way that make sure that the fund, the retirement fund, is fully funded.
Mm-hmm. So they'd be locked in to that rate, and they would just have to agree to it now, even if it might be a hardship to pay more later. They just got to make that decision, right?
Correct. And we think it gives them two things.
Yeah.
It gives them a little bit of savings and relief now. In fact, it could be substantial savings and relief. But yes, they might have to pay more later, but they're also getting stability. We all know that the pension contribution changes because the market value of the fund changes so much. What the localities here are also gaining is for the next 25 years, they know what they're going to pay so they could plan for it.
As you're aware, Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner, who's the Democratic Party co-chair, said it's kicking the can down the road. And she's been pretty feisty about that all week, not backing down on that. Is she wrong?
Well, first of all, we've made this a local option, so no municipality that doesn't want to take advantage of the plan has to take advantage of it. I do think she's thinking about it wrong. I think, for example, for a city like Syracuse, there would be substantial savings in the short run and the ability to plan. But again, if she felt that that was something that the city didn't want to take on because she thought costs would be too great down the road, but remember, costs would be flat down the road. Mm. That's her option to join or not to join.
Minimum wage. Increasing the minimum wage is in the budget, even though the state wouldn't, it wouldn't cost the state any money to do that. Why was that put in?
Well,
to make it more palatable to Senate Republicans? Or what would be the reasoning, I guess, budgetary behind doing that?
Well, I think there is a budget reason. And I think it has such an immediate impact on the economy. I think in the governor's presentation, you saw 700,000 people, would get a bump. It's over $1 billion in additional wages. Those wages will get spent on taxable goods and services mm-hmm. in New York. So we think it'll have a positive impact over the first few years on the economy.
So could it be a revenue raiser for the state if you looked at it that way?
It could be. Hmm. And also, there are other implications with the income tax and how it affects people who get the earned income tax credit. So we think there's an intimate linkage with the budget, which is why we included it.
And just with the 30 or so seconds we have left, do you think that the budget is going to be on time this year? There's special pressures because of the Passover and Easter holidays coming early. Do you think it's a possibility that we won't be back in April discussing the budget more?
I think we've been very successful the past 2 years in getting budgets done on time. I think this is a pretty straightforward budget. There's not a lot of hidden stuff the legislature has to uncover. It's very straightforward. It it solves a relatively minor budget problem. So we're very confident we'll get it done on time.
Okay, well, I'm planning to have my April off then. So thanks very much for joining us.